what to do.
So if you reflect on the kind of the mental state, that mental peace that these Ashravakas and Pratyeka Buddhas experience, although they are just incredible, but if you think about the sense of delight, sense of contentment, sense of inner strength the Bodhisattvas derive through engaging the activities for the welfare of others, so that would actually far surpass that of the experience of peace that these Shravakas and Pratyeka Buddhas experience. So, if you really think about these points, then however long you may take to achieve enlightenment, still that you will feel worth spending time that way, and you can even find that that great length of time so brief by way of your own thinking. So the kind of explanation here is a kind of antidote to the third discouragement, which says the discouragement that with respect to the about things, since it is necessary to take infinite rebirths in cyclic existence, at that time I'll be harmed by the sufferings of cyclic existence. But as said earlier, so however many lifetimes that you may have to undergo to achieve full enlightenment, but because of being enthused, being moved by the experience of bodhicitta, so you will find each moment of your experience in samsara as something very worthwhile, with tremendous inner strength, courage, and peace. As such, you, however many lifetimes it may take, you'll still feel worth it, and you'll feel delight in undergoing those experiences, even if it takes long. The antidote to the third is to stop discouragement through thinking. Due to a bodhisattva having abandoned negativities, there results suffering feelings do not arise. Due to this stable realization that cyclic existence lacks inherent existence, like an illusion, there is no suffering in his mind. If he thrives due to physical and mental happiness, even though he remains in cyclic existence, despair is senseless. Next, relying on favorable conditions for joyous effort. The power of aspiration. The power of aspiration is that through meditating on causes and results, one will strive in discarding and adopting. So whatever kind of action that you are bound to do, so make sure that first of all, you reflect on the benefit of the goal of that virtuous action. And then in terms of actually embracing the action, so make sure just try to be very calculative to see what amount of the action can you really engage in. So accordingly, you have to embrace the action. And the very action should be accompanied by a sense of joy in it. And through your engagement in the virtuous action, sometimes when you feel physically tired or exhausted, and when you feel that your mind becomes a little bit unclear and so forth, so it is then advised to keep a rest for a while, relaxing for a while. So four powers are: the power of aspiration, the power of stability, the power of joy, the power of suspension. So next, training and concentration. The attitude of concentration is subdivisions, how we generate concentration in one's continuum. The attitude of concentration is a mind that abides single-pointedly on any suitable precious observed object, which is free from the element of laxity and excitement. And in terms of the divisions, Oh, the concentration that causes one to abide in physical and mental happiness in this life. Concentration that manifestly accomplishes good qualities. The concentration that enacts the welfare of sentient beings. Next, training in wisdom, added to wisdom, divisions, how to generate wisdom in one's continuum. In general, wisdom is that which very thoroughly distinguishes the qualities in a thing that is being investigated. Here, it is the wisdom that is skilled in the five sciences and so forth. And divisions, there are three, the wisdom realizing the ultimate, the wisdom realizing conventionalities, and the wisdom realizing the welfare of sentient beings. First one, wisdom realizing the ultimate, it is the wisdom that comprehends the suchness, that is selflessness, by means of meaning generality, and the wisdom comprehending the suchness, that is selflessness, by means of a direct perceiver. Second, wisdom realizing conventionalities. The second is the wisdom that is skilled in the five sciences. And third, wisdom realizing the welfare of sentient beings. The third is to know how to accomplish, without misdeeds, the welfare of sentient beings in this and the future lives. So next, the entity of the four means of gathering. So we have finished with the six perfections. So the six perfections are primarily taught to ripen your own qualities. And the entity of the four means of gathering disciples, they are taught to gather or to ripen the disciples, the qualities of the disciples. So the four when you speak about the four means of gathering disciples, if it so happens that you teach something and you don't practice that yourself, so they then it so becomes that very teaching becomes some kind of empty, because there are people who are saying that Buddhism is only talking about something which is non-existent. So this means that when you are actually not practicing yourself, then that person who is going to criticize Buddhism is actually turned out to be right, because you say something and in actuality you are not in possession of that quality. As such, in order to gather disciples, one must practice in real sense by yourself or that thing that you are going to teach to the other. So the text reads, generosity is the first one is generosity. Generosity is the same as explained in the context of perfection's generosity. Second, pleasant speech. Pleasant speech is to teach the perfections to disciples. Third, meaningful conduct. Meaningful conduct is to make the disciples engage in the meanings that were taught, or to make them engage in assuming them correctly. And the last, fourth, to act in accordance with the meaning. To act in accordance with the meaning is through abiding in accordance with whatever meaning one has taught to others, to train in accordance with it. In the ornament of the Great Vehicle Sutras, it says, by according with giving, teaching it, making others assume it, and by oneself subsequently engaging in it, there is asserted to be pleasant speech, meaningful conduct, and according with the meaning. So with this, we are finished with the teachings, what is this perfections in general, and then the next part, that is the teaching on the last two perfections in detail. The means of cultivating quiescence and insight are included respectively in perfections of meditative stabilization out of wisdom. There are six sections. The benefits of cultivating quiescence and insight. The subsumption of all samadhis out of those two. The nature of quiescence and insight. The reason why it is necessary to cultivate both. The way to determine the order and the way to train in each one. In the Samdhi Nirmanachaya Sutra, it is said that all mundane and supramundane excellences of the Mahayana and Hinayana are results of quiescence and insight. Quam. Are quiescence and insight not excellent excellences in a mind stream that has achieved the meditative state? How then could all those excellences be the result of those two? So then it says that whatever kind of meditation it is, it must be complemented by two factors, the analytical meditation and the placement meditation. So because, first of all, we need to establish that very object by way of analysis. So that kind of analysis would be classified as the analytical meditation. So because if you take into consideration the meditations on renunciation, bodhicitta, and so forth, so they should be the result of these both the kinds of the meditation, the analytical meditation and the placement meditation. So those qualities that depend on the analytical meditations, so naturally they are the result of the special insight meditation, and various those qualities which are dependent on the placement meditation or single-pointed meditation, they are the derivatives or the result of the quiescence meditation. And then the response given here, actual quiescence and insight are indeed excellences in the mind stream that has achieved their meditative state. So all Mahayana and Hinayana excellences are not results of those two. Nevertheless, all samadhis ranging from single-pointed attention upon a virtuous object are included in the domain of quiescence, and all virtuous forms of wisdom that investigate ontological and phenomenological issues are included in the domain of insight. So, with this in mind, it is said that all the excellences of the three vehicles are results of quiescence and insight. Thus, there is no contradiction. So, the text that I'm reading is the translation of the quiescence part of Lama Tsongkhapa's middle version of Lamrim, translated by Alan Wallace, and the title of the book is Balancing the Mind.